Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives is the whole point. Each week I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Nice to have you in here, out there, all around the world. Welcome, one and all, Monsieur and Madame, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert, and I'll tell you what, I got an attitude of gratitude right now, yeah. And the people I want to thank are this audience for being here tonight after weathering these people. After weathering the aggressive flurries outside, you're the heroes. I just wish we had thought ahead to turn up the heat in here. Of course, there's bad weather all over the place. Massive snow up in New England. Out in California, they've been hit with something called an atmospheric river. Coincidentally, also my favorite scent from Paco Rabanne. This river has caused torrential rains and devastating floods like this one, which is yet another reason why some California banks are underwater. Something has mixed reaction from the audience. Something has clearly thrown off the balance of our planet. Maybe it's global warming. Maybe it's the fact that the former president made his first Iowa visit for the 2024 campaign. This is the moment I've been dreading for over 2 years. I said I would never do the impression anymore, but the campaign has begun, so here we go. Meh, see, I used to be president, see? Meh. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, meh. I'll work on it. Oh, no. Oh, no. I love pity, but not that much. I'll work on it. The former president started talking to the press before his plane even landed, specifically about his former vice president and child's drawing of a sad man, Mike Pence. Over the weekend at the, what's it called? The Gridiron Dinner, Mike Pence said history will hold the former president accountable for January 6th, but the former president found someone else to blame, telling reporters, had Pence sent the votes back to the legislatures, they wouldn't have had a problem with January 6th. So in many ways, you can blame Pence for January 6th. No. He's right. In many ways, Mike Pence is to blame for the crowd trying to hang him. I mean, did you see what his neck was wearing? I mean, that Adam's apple left nothing to the imagination. The former president continued, had he sent the ballots back, I believe you wouldn't have had January 6th, as we call it. As we call it, it's a day. We've always called January 6th January 6th, because that's the day it is. You know what? I'm going to grill us up some hot dogs, light some fireworks, and celebrate a little thing I call the 4th of July. Trademark. Former president also went after his chief 2024 rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, whom he claimed is in the national spotlight only because of the former president's 2018 endorsement, saying, if it weren't for me, Ron DeSanctimonious would right now probably be working at a law firm or maybe a Pizza Hut. Or if he was really ambitious, a combination law firm Pizza Hut. You know their slogan, no one out pizzas, Schaeferman, Lakin, and Associates. Hello, I'd like to order a large meat lover's divorce. Ooh, garlic knots. Former president also explained his new nickname for DeSantis, saying, I use the word Ron DeSanctimonious or Ron DeSanctus. It's just a shorter version, yes. Because all nicknames need a nickname. They call me T-Bone, which is, of course, short for Tyrannosaurus Bone. The former president is clearly losing his nickname game because he already has the perfect nickname for DeSantis that he's rejected, and it's Meatball Ron, which he says is too crude. Yeah, he says a lot of nasty things, but he draws the line at meatballs. That is sacred ground. Beef, pork, veal, lamb. When it came time for his speech, the former president bragged about almost having done something.
I virtually eliminated the unfair estate tax or death tax. If you love your children, you can leave your farm to your kids. If you don't like your kids that much, or if you don't like them at all, which happens on occasion, don't leave them a thing.
Hey, Dad's talking about me. Thanks for the... Dad, it's me. Thanks for the shout-out, Dad. The only thing I want you to leave me is a hug. Or just slip me in the casket with you. Kind of dark, huh?
Took a turn.
Kind of sad.
Took a turn.
Thank you. The ex-president isn't the only one out there raising his profile. DeSantis was on Fox News this weekend talking to the brown-haired guy who's not Steve Ducey about what he learned from playing baseball in college.
Locker room gets you ready for the press, right? Because your teammates, if they like you a lot, they rip you all the time.
The way you know that people like you is if they're making fun of you.
Well then, Ron DeSantis, I'm about to be your best friend. In fact, I like you so much, I'm gonna say you look like a Frankenstein stitched together from dead personal injury lawyers. Now, you may be wondering, why was that interview outside? Well, because Ron DeSantis wants to connect with everyday sport-loving Americans, so he played catch in a literal softball interview. Although, you'll notice throughout the segment, the editors cut away so that you don't actually see the ball being thrown and caught in the same shot. Now, that's a weird way to show two guys tossing a ball, but I'm sure it was a real game of catch. That's just how we do it on TV. For instance, Lewis and I have a catch almost every night. Mm-hmm. Hey, Lewis, catch.
Nice toss, Steven.
Thanks. Go long.
Très bien.
Smoking that fish in. Speaking of Europe, we've got news from Rome because this week Pope Francis suggested he'll review the Catholic Church's vow of celibacy for priests. Now, I don't think that's that big of a deal. I mean, there are not a lot of sexy priests. Oh, my God. Frock me. Is this true? Just a moment. I'm being told we forgot one hot priest. Forgive me, Father, for I have zaddied. So, that's what that means. The pontiff pontificated, saying celibacy in the Western Church is a temporary prescription. And when a pope says temporary, he means since the 11th century. For the Catholic Church, 1,000 years is yesterday. It's why they still haven't adopted the cutting-edge technology of pants. Now, folks, for this next story, I owe you an apology on behalf of myself and on behalf of the mainstream media for woefully failing you. While we were busy talking about bank failures and a land war in Europe, we have not given sufficient scrutiny to the story that was broken by the Tallahassee Democrat over 2 weeks ago. That story, a large clam was discovered in Florida. It's the kind of story you don't see every day unless you're in Florida, where there are a good number of large clams. As I'm sure you're now all aware, thanks to the report in the New York Post just yesterday, this is no ordinary large clam. This one is believed to be born in 1809, the same year as our 16th president, which is why it got the nickname Abraclam Lincoln. Now, so far, it all checks out. So far, everything checks out. I just have one problem with this story. We've all seen the sensationalist reporting. Abraclam is giant, huge, massive. Okay, that sounds like one big mother shucker. But I'm about to blow the lid off this clam because we have now learned that while most ocean clams have a shell length of about 2 to 4 inches long, this so-called behemoth clocked in at a mere 6 inches. And don't tell me it's because the water's cold. It's Florida. And it's not even the type of clam we all originally were told it was. Turns out Abraclam is a southern quahog, even though the media falsely reported it was an ocean quahog, which would have been exciting because those are normally found between Newfoundland and North Carolina, which means this mollusk found along the Gulf of Mexico was far from home. Here's your first hint that this was one fishy mollusk, the idea that clams travel. The only place clams are going is onto a bed of linguine. And most shocking of all, it seems that after the surge of media coverage of Abraclam, its age of 214 years old is questionable. And they now think the clam is between 107 and 214 years old. But one clam expert suspected it might be even younger. And I just want to say this. The only thing more heartbreaking than the lies we were fed in this story is growing up to be a clam expert. So, yeah, got there. So, what does your son do? He's a marine biologist. Amazing. Does he work with dolphins? I'm going to say yes. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Reggae Sean Page.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world...
It's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest is an actor you know as the breakout star of season one of Bridgerton. You can see him in the new movie Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. Please welcome to the Late Show, Reggae Sean Page. Thank you for being here.
Very, very welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I've never had a chance to interview before. As you can tell from the...
yours.
We shipped in some hoot owls. Now, as you can tell from the reaction of the audience, even when I just said your name a little bit earlier, people still remember you quite fondly from season one of Bridgerton. Multiple parts of you from the season of Bridgerton. That show is such a phenomenon. I mean, it's hard to see something like that coming in your career. But when did you know that your career had changed based on that?
When did I know my career had changed? I mean, There were a couple of moments. I remember when we were shooting Dungeons & Dragons, we were in Belfast, and I remember landing in the airport, and it's a relatively small airport.
How long ago were we talking here?
This is 2 years ago at this point. So this is March, maybe, of 2021, and Bridgerton had hit, like, over Christmas.
Yeah.
I remember landing in Northern Ireland. I got into the car, the ride from the airport, and the driver turned on the radio, and they were running a competition to find me. They were like, Regis Jean-Page is in town. Call us if you know where he is. Just so that, so I just kind of holed up in the hotel for like 2-3 months. I just basically didn't leave my room.
Oh, wow.
So it's a bit of a mixed blessing. Like, y'all are lovely and give me lots and lots of attention, and y'all are lovely and give me lots and lots of attention.
Yeah. Did anybody find you?
No, I hid in my room. Actually, no, a couple of people did. Folks are very, very friendly in Belfast.
Yes.
And very forthcoming. And so it's not like anyone kind of did sneak pictures. They just kind of ran up and grabbed me and just like, welcome to Belfast. And I was like, hello, thank you. Thank you so much. But yeah, a couple of folks found me, but I mostly just kind of kept it quiet. It was a very weird inversion where set used to be like the extraordinary place. Like I'd go into set and that'd be the place where like dreams happen and like everything was odd and I got to play Hollywood and then you go home and you sit in the coffee shops and life's normal. And then after Bridgerton, set was where people treated me normally, and I just went to work, and I kind of, you know, had interactions with my workmates. Wow. And the public became the performance space, because that's where I'm being watched all day long, you know?
Right.
And so there's a very, very odd flip that happened that I'm still kind of learning how to navigate, kind of with grace, because you want to meet people.
Sure.
And you want to share in the joy that you give people. That's the reason you do the job.
And you're grateful, you know, that they like your work.
Of course. Hugely grateful. And so it's just learning kind of how to share that energy when you're out and kind of you take that one little extra step and kind of take a breath and then you walk out the front door and you're ready to meet folks and you're ready to share the thing that you created together. Because I do really believe that even on television, like on stage, yes, everyone's present and you're having this conversation. But even on TV, there is a shared aspect to that thing you make. The reason Bridgerton was such a sensation is that there was something that gave us a sense of community, communal escapism when we were all kind of trapped in our own little bubbles. And I think that that's something very special and something to be treated with care and gratitude, as you said.
A lot of surprising things when you become famous. In January, a plastic surgeon over in the UK declared that you're the most handsome man in the world, given your face's alignment. Legally, I have to ask you about this. Given your face's alignment with something called the Greek golden ratio, was this news for you, or were you like, about damn time someone noticed?
I mean, that was news to me. That's not the conversation I have with myself in the mirror every morning. I'm that guy is just... Nah, it was a bit of an ambush headline.
Sure.
Like, it's that thing where you do a show, and you know you're going to ride the press cycle. Like, people are going to be looking out for you a little more while you're on the Dungeons & Dragons press tour, while you're talking about a movie, when Bridgerton's just come out.
Right.
But at this point, like, I'd just kind of finally ridden this thing, and I was sitting at home feeling a little bit relaxed. We were in a lull before I do this.
Yes.
And then there was just this ambush headline, like, bam, everyone's looking at you again. And I was like, I didn't even ask for this. I had no idea. I had no idea that I was apparently scientifically...
Oh, you came so close. Same, so close to giving people a clip they could play later. Good for you for stopping yourself. Good for you. But let me ask you this. Are there any actors and actresses that you work with that you find distractingly attractive? And don't worry, if you don't name Chris Pine, he won't be upset. Because he's a good-looking guy.
Chris Pine is stunning and smells delicious.
Yes.
I think that's what
everyone... Here's what people don't know at home. You smell fantastic. Is that Paco Rabanne's atmospheric river you're wearing? Well, what is it? What is it?
Yes. That is grievous slander. It is Armani Code.
Armani Code. You know, oh, my goodness.
you're very kind to say so. You smell very good yourself.
Thank you. It's decaf coffee.
It's a decaffeination that does it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what no one knows about Bridgerton. Phoebe and I both had horrendous coffee breath the whole way through.
We
made a pact early on. It's one of the things that you do. You approach your other actor and you go, hey, so this scene's after lunch. What are our rules? Are we no onions? Are we no garlic? Do I have to get the coffee in early? And then we both were like, actually, I really like coffee, so I don't mind that onion. But it was like, thank God. So we had a coffee safe space the whole way through that show.
Oh, that's lovely. Now I got another question here, and that is about Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I want to get to Dungeons and Dragons in just a moment, and the movie, because I'm a huge D&D fan. And but this other headline, this is a quote from you, so you actually do have to answer this one. In Entertainment Weekly, it says Regis Jean-Page says he had the best ass of my life making Dungeons and Dragons. Now, I just want to point out to you is that you were already admired for your posterior. And your generosity of sharing with us in Bridgerton. But why did it get better? Why did you improve? Why did you gild the lily, shall we say? How did it get better in Dungeons & Dragons? I'm only quoting you.
Why did I gild that lily? Very occasionally, you have to give the people what they want. But beyond that, no, it was same as everyone else, squats. Essentially,
why was there so much squatting in Dungeons & Dragons?
Because there was a lot of sword fighting in Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh,
and on top
okay.
of that, it was sword fighting in tons of armor and a very heavy cape. We broke the Edna Mode rule. We wore the cape. It's so impractical and so heavy.
Wow.
But sword fighting is just a lot of like squat stances.
Oh, like, yeah, a lot of, yeah.
Crab walking.
Deep pliés.
Lots of very, very deep pliés.
Wow.
And, you know, occasionally that means you got to refit the costume because you found it out just that little bit better.
Your ass is just bumping up a little bit.
Your
so
word,
how long has it been since you wrapped on Dungeons & Dragons? How long since you shot it?
It's almost 2 years at this point. I think we were filming through March, April, May 2021.
So almost 2 years. Yeah. Have you checked in on your ass lately? How's it going?
I mean, we don't tend to have deep and meaningful conversations on the regular, so I'm not sure.
Do you have anybody check on it every so often just to make sure that it's still, you know,
I mean, you can ask the couch after I'm gone, see what it says.
We have experts here if you'd like to just have a judge right now. We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more Reggae Jean Page, everybody. Don't go away.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
Hey, everybody. We're back here with the star of Dungeons & Dragons, Reggae Jean Page, in the movie. Who do you play, and what happens? Is it a quest with, like, a party of people, like a magic user and a fighter and a cleric
yeah.
and a thief and stuff like
that?
I mean,
it's a relatively well-balanced party. As, like, a player yourself, you'll know that no one respects healers, so we have no healer in the party.
There's no cleric?
There's no cleric.
Oh, wow.
Sophia was writing us all for this in no uncertain terms. She's brutal when that woman criticizes you. But no, we have a relatively balanced party. There's a paladin, a barbarian, a very horny bard, a sorcerer, and a rogue. And a rogue, okay. Hugh Grant, who you're going to be speaking to very soon.
Sure.
Who is as roguish as they come.
Yes, absolutely. And you're the paladin?
I'm the paladin. I am a painfully righteous, incredibly stoic, thoroughly charming, ridiculously heroic man in shiny armor and a cape, which is really, really fun because you get to kind of be the straight man to whom everyone else bounces off. But they've done this inversion where I would be the hero in any other movie. Jonathan yes. Goldstein, one of our directors, talks about it's almost like this character wandered in from from another lot on the lot. Like shooting a really serious fantasy movie and then just blunders upon these idiots making the Dungeons & Dragons movie and just spends most of the movie very, very, very confused by that. But there's something really cool about the guy who should be the hero. He doesn't get to enjoy any of the fun because he's taking it all so seriously.
Because lawful good, man.
Lawful good, bordering on lawful boring, but he does his best.
Well, we have a clip here. Can you tell us what's going on?
Yes. Okay, you guys had the clip where we are about... It's a very D&D in joke, but it's also very funny. Where we're approaching a trapped fantasy bridge and there's a very, very specific set of rules that you have to follow in order to solve this problem. Mm-hmm. And I think it illustrates what I was talking about here, where there's more than one solution to a problem.
Jim?
The bridge is protected by an ancient gnomish trap. There is a precise formula we must follow so as not to trigger the mechanism.
What's the formula?
It's quite simple. Starting from the center, use odd-numbered blocks only, moving forward with each step except for every fifth step, which must be a lateral move. Left or right, it matters not, so long as the leader and the laggard remain equidistant. At the midpoint, we switch to even-numbered blocks. Same pattern, except now lateral move after the fourth step, until we reach the three...
I may have triggered the mechanism. So, sorry.
Well, I'll be there. Lovely to meet you. Thank you for being here, Reggae Jean. Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, opens in theaters on March 31st. Reggae Jean Page, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to the Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.